Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the Executive Director and Founder of the SLMA, the one and only Jim Obermeyer. Hey, Jim.
Our guest today is Roan Morgan. She's the CEO of Demand Lab. Roan sets the direction for the technologies and strategies and partnerships that drive success for the agency's clients. She's an early proponent of marketing automation. Roan continues to explore the next wave of technologies and analytics that support engaging customer journeys. She's been on our SLMA radio program. One of the subjects, does your MarTech stack up? And also, how leading companies increase revenue in today's hyper-competitive environment. Welcome, Roan.
Hi there. Thank you so much, Jim. It's great to be with you.
So we're going to tackle the subject, who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales? Now, this is an ongoing series of asking key executives questions about who owns the pipeline. And this really came up as I started to look at pipeline charts a couple of months ago. And I realized that it seems like the pipeline charts have changed from marketing, just the responsibility to dump inquiries into the top of the funnel. Their name actually appears virtually all the way through the funnel as having some functions. So the question naturally comes up, who owns the pipeline today? And I know you're pretty opinionated about this, so I thought we'd get you back on the program to talk about it today. So what's your opinion? Who really owns the pipeline today?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that in general, I would consider it more of a shared situation. But ultimately, also, it depends on the sales type, right? So if you're working with a really large enterprise selling million-dollar deals, they're going to own more and more of the pipeline. So marketing is going to send over a prospect right at the marketing qualify lead, and it's going to be taken over by sales, and they're going to run with it. And they're going to probably even own a lot of that earlier communications, right? And that's because this is an 18-month, many months, many years sort of in the making deal. But what I think is really interesting right now is that we have more and more very large purchases in both the B2C, but now really especially even in the B2B space that can be made online. And that is really marketing's domain, right? You've got large purchases totally online, like cars and boats, you know, is one example. But then I think the question lies, when is the human touch needed? You know, how much of that human touch is even actually sales? You know, I saw a really interesting sales cycle, an entire funnel, actually, where a fair percent of the customers were buying a medical service, and it was a pretty personal choice and thousands of dollars a pop. They were buying that service entirely online, which I thought was really interesting because it's medical and really personal, a pretty competitive space, but they were, a majority of folks were pushing that buy button without talking to anybody. And when they did pick up the phone, they were talking to a business development rep, customer service, you know, who was really there to guide the buyer, not answer objections or do a hard sell, but it was really about building trust before they hit the buy button, because those folks went back and bought that service online. So their objections had already been answered through all of the communications work that marketing had been doing through a variety of channels for some time. So I would say you see marketing reaching farther and farther throughout. And so that partnership, not ownership, I actually never talk about ownership with any of our clients as we're talking with them about their strategic thinking around this. We talk about partnership much more than anything. And then it's just a matter of, for every company, where does that line sort of sit? And then how do we support, ultimately as marketers, sales through the entire process once it is in their hands, if it ever needs to get there.
Do you think that some companies see the opportunity for marketing to take people all the way through and therefore possibly speed up the sale, shorten the sales cycle? And oh, by the way, I guess we don't need those pesky sales commissions and we can reduce our sales expense by not having sales involved at all. if marketing, who doesn't get really paid for the sale, is involved. Do you think that's any of it?
That's a really good question, and I honestly had never thought of it that way, to be really truthful, because I don't see sales as replaceable necessarily. I mean, what we see in that example that I just shared, people are still picking up the phone. There is still a human component that's necessary. And so it's around the relationship builders. So those salespeople who are able to really engage and are maybe selling in a more authentic way would probably do really well in that sort of an environment. Sales commissions, I suppose, if you're getting rid of your entire sales team, I don't see any company doing that, to be honest. I haven't talked to a single company that I could imagine would ever move away from having a sales team.
Well, they may not move away from the entire sales team, but they may move away from having a sales team handle certain products.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Some products salespeople don't want to sell. They're too small. They're too, the dollar figure's too little. Yeah, they're almost consumer type products, even though they're B2B sometimes.
And invest that into, invest at least a good portion of that back into your marketing so that you are able to enable marketing, right? And support them through virtually moving into sales.
How much do you think some of this pipeline ownership of marketing getting so involved, it really has to do with the customer that doesn't really want salespeople often involved? If they can get the information without talking to a salesperson, will they do it to make a decision?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case.
Do you think that the customers, the potential customers, are they driving this marketplace a little bit? Do they not want to talk to salespeople, so they're willing to make their choices online without a salesperson involvement?
Yeah, I think that, in fact, a lot of customers expect that. And we've been talking about this for a while, where customers have a totally different buying experience. As we say, we're not selling to companies, we're selling to buying units, which are devised of people. And their buying experience today is almost purely online and really, really convenient. And they do all their research via their peers, via online, reviews. So they're taking care of themselves. They're much more empowered these days. And so it is a little bit cumbersome and a little annoying, actually. This happened to me not too long ago. I was getting ready to purchase something. I went through multiple pages on this website only to end up at a click here to find a dealer. And I really thought I was going to be able to purchase. So I didn't need to talk to a dealer. And picking up that phone and having to go through that extra process, I think people are much more accustomed to taking care of themselves. And it's really just because they have such an access to information now. And they're so empowered. That next step is really necessary if you need to build trust, if there are objections to overcome. But ultimately, if it's a simple process, just let them buy.
It makes sense to a great extent. I can imagine the disappointment to say, well, I just wanted to buy the product. Now I've got to find a dealer, and then I've got to find somebody probably close enough. And then they're just going to want to talk to me into service contracts and others. I've got to explain this whole thing again, rather than just pick up the phone and say, I want to buy this, please ship it. I can see that irritation, especially for younger buyers under the age of 30 or 40, who are used to saying, just cut to the chase. I don't have a lot of time. I just want to buy this. Maybe this is what's leading to this co-ownership of the pipeline. This term can also be called marketing enablement, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Not just a sales enablement, but marketing is enabled to not only get involved, but pitch through the internet, use AI, use artificial intelligence to help make the sale. And it ultimately, for many products, make the sale and then move on.
Yeah, that's true. And I think about enablement, and I think about traditionally in sales enablement, which is, we're very familiar with, have been around for a very long time, and all teams within any organization should be enabled at the end of the day, right? The finance team has a back office that they might be outsourcing to. There's all kinds of enablement. And thinking about marketing enablement, yeah, right now they've got access to many, many more tools. The technology has empowered and enabled marketing to expand into the later stages of the funnel or the sales cycle. And I think that perhaps the idea of marketing enablement, which I think you can probably Google and find companies that are you know, selling their platforms as marketing, quote unquote, marketing enablement platforms. Sometimes, since that term is sort of evolving, I would say that sometimes these new labels are created when something already exists, you know, like ABM did, but they need resource, they need money or people. And so to legitimize it, we as very smart business, you know, professionals are going to put a label on it. And to get the resourcing, we created that new category, which ultimately develops into new companies being developed around enabling marketing. And so it's just a matter of how much are we investing? What kind of enablement? Is it a platform? Is it training? Is it both? When you think about it, marketers aren't salespeople. And traditionally, especially those folks that have been around for a long time, I'm one of them. I was the person just tossing leads over to sales and saying, go at it, go for it. Never wanted to touch that sales, that selling component. And now they're sort of, that's a new space for marketing that we have to get into. So how do you even enable them to be able to communicate in a way that is supportive of closing a deal?
We're going to take a quick break. We've been speaking with Roan Morgan. She's the CEO of Demand Lab about who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales. When we come back, can we tackle the issue? Should marketing people be compensated for their roles in the sales process? And are sales people strengthened by these changes or weakened in this apparent co-ownership? We'll be back in just a moment.
We know you rely on your CRM system, and it's usually a love-hate relationship. Most CRM systems, well, let's face it, they're expensive. They're hard to understand. People don't use them properly. And you're probably paying for features that you don't even want. If that's your case, then maybe it's time to simplify. It's time to get more from your CRM. Why don't you go back to the original? Trust Goldmine. We helped pioneer the industry, after all. Goldmine CRM is, well, it's simple, it's affordable, and it's proven. If all those sound appealing to you, if you're just tired of the CRM headaches that you're getting from trying to implement something that's just too complicated, too expensive, and too much for you to figure out, then why not go back to the original? Visit Goldmine today, goldmine.com. All right, back to Jim and his guest.
Thank you, Paul. It's nice to hear from our sponsors today. We've been speaking with Roan Morgan. She's the CEO of Demand Lab. She's been answering the question, who owns the pipeline, marketing or sales? And to a great extent, the answer may come out to be not too surprising. It depends. And we talked about more and more purchasers not necessarily wanting salespeople to be involved, but wanting them to be involved when they want them to be involved. I asked Roan to think about this question when she comes back. Are sales strengthened by these changes or weakened by this process? Should marketing people be compensated for their roles in the sales process? Roan, which of those would you like to tackle first?
Well, let's talk about the compensation topic. I would say sure. This should be built into the KPIs, ultimately, of marketing folks. We're all, most marketing professionals that I know have key performance indicators that they're already looking at. If they are responsible for generating deals, absolutely there should be some compensation. If, you know, the scenario we were talking about earlier is the case, and, you know, the further they go into supporting closed won deals, we see every one of our clients on the marketing side wanting to be able to at least put a fingerprint on that and say, you know what, I participated there. And I have seen systems put into place to reward or compensate marketing for their roles in closed deals. It changes the dynamic a bit, and it actually isn't as easy. It's something that I think you got to really think about before you start to implement. What I can say for sure is that, you know, we see every client that we're working with that is doing this, where the marketer is held responsible for getting ready to close prospects over the line, or really supporting through the pipeline. They're tightening the screws on the earlier phases of the lead lifecycle, putting pressure on measuring those early stage marketing programs because they don't want to waste their time anymore. So that's actually a really positive impact, I'd say. Nobody's looking at vanity metrics anymore. They're holding, you know, their PPC vendors accountable for every lead that's coming through, because they're this trickle effect up the funnel, basically, once they have more responsibility at the end of the life cycle, you know, through buying stages. So they're looking at conversion rates, I think, more strongly. They're looking at the ROI of campaigns and marketing initiatives, not based on how many leads, how many engaged, how many became MQL, but how many actually closed. And I see more and more marketing people caring very much about that. And so perhaps one day we are going to see that there's much more of a compensation model created around that.
That makes sense. I'd welcome it if I were still in marketing.
Sure.
And I would be extremely aggressive in making it happen. Before we get to our next question, are salespeople strengthened by these changes or weakened by this apparent co-ownership? Tell us a little bit about Demand Lab.
Sure. So Demand Lab is a marketing automation consulting firm. We have been around since 2008. We work primarily with large enterprise into the Fortune 500 companies, and we are working with clients on both project-based and managed services engagements. But our work with clients is to help them get more out of their marketing and sales technologies, the data, and then the content that is driving, kind of feeding the beast, right? So we offer marketing automation services like text selection, deployments and integrations, data architecture, BI and analysis. And then also we have a very strong arm around content marketing strategy and creation. When we started the company years ago, we found that just helping people with their marketing automation deployments and integrations wasn't getting them to the next level. So we very quickly brought in a content arm so that we could support the new way of thinking about customer engagement along with the power of the technology that they had at their fingertips.
So is your compensation by project or retainer?
Both. Okay. We work with lots of clients on projects, and many of them come to us first with a project and then move into what we call managed services. And it's a little more flexible than what the traditional retainer might be considered.
Do any of these clients use a platform you provide?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. We work both ways, actually. So a majority of our clients are, they've already purchased. And I will say that 100% of our clients use Marketo, long-term relationships. But I will say majority of folks, they've already purchased their instance. They might have had it for a couple of years and are trying to figure out what the heck is going on inside of it or how to level it up and evolve what they're doing. So they come to us for that.
I can think of any number of people I've talked to through the years. I ask them if they have marketing automation. They say, yes, we've got a marketing automation program. Then I say, are you using it? And there's this long pause. And I'm about ready, just the way I pause there, I'm about ready to throw something in. And they say, well, we've been known to use it. But we know we should be doing more, and we're gonna try that next quarter. So I can see why many people would use your services. Let's get on to our next question, which really is, are salespeople strengthened by these changes or weakened by this apparent co-ownership of the pipeline?
Until you mentioned the idea that salespeople might not be needed in some of the sales, right, processes, hadn't even considered that. So that aside, my opinion is that we are all on the same team. And, you know, at the end of the day, we should all be marketing, sales, every top line revenue generating team at a company, and just about everybody else at the company should be caring about things like revenue, reduced churn, increased renewals, increased engagement, conversion rates, everything that leads to growth, right, of your organization, of your company. And so if we're all moving in the same direction, we will all be strengthened. So, you know, perhaps that's too idealistic, but I truly believe that a true partnership between marketing and sales can only strengthen both teams.
I should have known the answer to that, because as I just pulled up your website again, it says accelerate revenue through marketing and sales transformation.
Yeah.
So it's fairly clear there. And before we go, we've got another minute. This revenue ecosystem, can you explain that to me?
Sure. So the way that we think about the revenue ecosystem, this is something that we started to develop actually about a year and a half ago. And it's really around bringing together all of the organizations that are impacting revenue. So looking at marketing, certainly, and sales, but really, and customer service, customer enablement. These are all critical components. But, you know, really looking at that true imperative of revenue growth and how are we leveraging the technologies, the massive amounts of data that's available to us to provide the growth that the executive leaders, the boards, stakeholders, stockholders all are looking for at their company. And then how do we ultimately use that information to also provide the 360 view of the customer? That takes you ultimately to the holy grail of the customer journey where everybody's trying to get, right? So leveraging your data, leveraging your technology so that you can understand your customer better, develop content and engagement experiences that are authentic and worthwhile, and then deliver on a customer journey that will cycle back into that original imperative of growth for any organization.
It's a great explanation. I like the term revenue ecosystem. Connect marketing to revenue generation. It's a great way to do things. I should have known that what that answer was going to be. We've been speaking with Roan Morgan, CEO of DemandLab. She's answered the question, who owns the pipeline marketing and sales? Roan, we're just about at the end of our interview here. Thank you for coming back again and again for us to tap some of your deep knowledge of working with so many great clients through the years. How does someone reach you?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always, always a pleasure. They can certainly reach us through going to the website. You know, we've got a form there. You can find me on LinkedIn, Roan Morgan, R-H-O-A-N Morgan. And then, you know, if somebody has a need, feel free to email me at roan@demandlab.com. Thank you so much, Jim. It's always great. I appreciate the time.
Paul, over to you for our next program.
You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Part of the ever-growing list of programs on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.